I'm going to introduce a subject, and we're going to be on it for a while. And the subject is closely related to the honor that God gives individuals. And I will change that word, because the Lord honors people with something. And I'm going to change that word for reward, so keep that little word in mind. I think before we're through, you might understand more about it. But there's two aspects, two purposes for my getting onto this subject with you. First of all, that we might know more about our God. I think the word reveals God. It reveals our Lord. It reveals more about Him. I think it is the purpose of God that we know Him. And so this morning we're going to attempt, as we speak the word, that the spirit of revelation and the spirit of understanding and the spirit of wisdom open your eyes, that you might see the Father and understand the Father as He really is, and know Him for what He is and not for what man makes Him out to be. And I'll repeat that, because some of you weren't listening. God's spirit of revelation wants to come to our hearts, a spirit of understanding, that He might reveal to us the Father as He really is, and not as other people have made Him out to be. And so this is one of the purposes of this. The second purpose is that God wants us to begin to understand a little bit about rewards. He wants us to understand that God rewards every single human being on the face of the earth, whatever age he lived in, through the age of time and history and eternity, God works. And His rewardings aren't only on this earth. The rewardings of God take place in heaven at the judgment seat. And because of His character, because of His person and the way He is, they will be ongoing throughout eternity. And so God is a rewarding God. That's the first thing I want to tell you about the Lord this morning. He is a rewarding God. Now, it might take us a long time to understand that one little statement. We could have left it at that. But sometimes the spirit of understanding has to work line upon line, concept upon concept, and precept upon precept. And so it is my understanding that I'll start with a general overlook of this subject. And you'll probably think it's exhausted by the time we're through with the overview, but we're not. Then we're going to tap into the negative side, as we did the other subject of the tongue, the mouth. And not that we exhausted any of it, but we did go into the negative side of it. In the general overlook that we will get this morning, we're going to get a little bit of all and everything. But then we're going to go deeper into it. So you're going to have to bear with us and hang on to your seatbelts or have them hang on to you, because it's like everything else. The negative can get real negative. And one thing I know about God, He doesn't mix the negatives and positives. He uses them both. He doesn't mix those magnetic streams of negative charges and positive charges. He works them both independently and together. And each has its own unique force and pulls in its own unique direction. And when I say negative, I don't mean to cast a shadow of darkness, dubiousness, or question upon God, but rather so that we can understand what I say or what I mean. And that is that we many times react toward God in the things He does for us because of the lack of understanding, feeling that it's been negative because it hurts, or because we've been exposed to pain, or because there's been problems, or because the circumstances have just been chaotic, or because health has been taken away for a season, or whatever. We see those things as negative. Now, God sees them as positives. But here's where the balance comes. What God sees as positive, we see as negative. On the other hand, what God sees as negative, we see as positive. And so God works both. We receive both. We just get them turned around. And I don't want you to understand this morning that I want you turning them around. I want you to understand that God works in such a way that's negative to us, but it's positive to Him. And so when we get into this negative part, that's real positive for God. Anytime the Lord has gotten into the real negative part, that's when He really did His work with us. When He got into the other part that we think is so great and builds us up, that's where the dangers lie. That's where the problems can exist. That's where the enemy hides and lurks behind the shadows to cast his net out and get us. It was in God's blessing that the people became far from God. It was while they stayed near to the Lord, it's while things seemed so negative, while it was so hard, that it was good. But nonetheless, for whomever it might be, we're going to approach a negative side, one that for us is not too delectable, one that's not too kind. Then we're going to go on and move on from there, seeing as though that will be the real work of the Spirit, and we're going to move on to the other part. That's the uplifting part. And in the same way that we did when we spoke of the tongue and the power of the tongue, after we've faced the things that for us are negative, we will go on and you'll see how wonderful the things of God are. And if you think that the example of the mouth being used to honor someone was wonderful, you can't begin to imagine what it's going to be like when God honors us in heaven, but when He begins to reward us. And so every person will find his reward from God, for God, I said, is a rewarding God. Now I want you to turn with me, and we won't stay here. We're going to go all through the Bible from pillar to post here. Remember, it's a general overview today. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. Our subject is God that rewards. Now I've chosen this verse because it begins in first person. I don't have to speak for the Lord. He speaks for Himself. I don't have to give apologies nor explanations. I don't have to even say, thus saith the Lord. Here's the Lord speaking for Himself. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That, in a nutshell, is the content of all that we will see from here on. That gets it down to one single point. But there is a lot of beautiful things about this verse that, as time goes on, God will reveal to us. One of the things is that God does not search your work. Think of that. God does not search your work when He rewards you for your work. He searches your heart when He rewards you for your work. You see, we can judge people and their work and what they do because we can judge the quality and the quantity of their work. But God is a perfect judge. And so first of all, the point I want to make here is that the Lord searches the heart, not the hands. Secondly, the Lord takes His time. Searching takes time. He doesn't give quick and hurried decisions about things. He's not going to just say, well, what have I done for Robert? Let's just throw him a bone here. The Lord doesn't act that way. He doesn't work that way. Some of us impetuous beings and some of us that are full of intensities and we're the now people, I call us. When you're built this way, chances are that you'll just do things on the spur of the moment. And you just, you know, I didn't even think it. I just did it. And there's always plenty of time to repent later. That's what takes so long. But you do it. And sometimes there's no need to repent. Sometimes what came out on the spur of the moment is wonderful. But God takes no chances. God isn't a God of chances. And so He takes His deliberate time. And the Lord begins to search. He begins to look. He begins to go into the crevices of the heart. He begins to search out intent, motive. He begins to search out what were the circumstances surrounding my existence. What had He placed there before me? How had I responded to that? Why had I responded that way? What were the factors that were detrimental to me acting the way He wanted me to act? How could He take care of those things so in turn I begin to yield the fruit of His Spirit? Because after all, it is His work. Now I want you to understand that God is not only a rewarding God, but that God now, and we will introduce this third step, will reward good and evil. The Lord doesn't just reward you for good. We have a way. Or perhaps it's the connotation of the word. I'd always understood the connotations of the word rewarding to give you something good. If you're going to reward somebody, you're not going to cut their head off or put them in prison. You know, we use repayment or we use vengeance or we use other words. But the Bible indistinctly used this word with others. And God repays as He does reward. And you see, when you repay someone, you're paying them something equal to that which they've either sold you, given you, or done. That is punishment. We're not speaking of punishment. We are speaking of rewards, but rewards for evil as rewards for good. Now, most people would like to throw this part out because we're already dealing in a little bit of a subject that's negative to us. We would like to only know of a God who rewards us for all the good things, and we will find out of how many things the Lord rewards us that we consider are good. But on the other hand, God is a God that rewards both good and evil, because he goes through life, and according to the fruit of their doing, according to the fruit of their doing. Now, do you remember that Jesus said that he was the vine and we were the branches attached to the vine, and that the vine couldn't have fruit on the end of it? I mean, the branches, unless the sap from the vine flowed through it, unless it was connected. Because the truth of the matter is that the fruit, although connected to us, we are the extension that brings forth the fruit, but the fruit isn't brought forth because of what's in us, or because of what we are, but rather what is in us, which is Christ in us or His Holy Spirit in us. He is the one that brings forth fruits unto righteousness. He is the one that brings forth good fruits. So the Lord, for the fruits brought forth, for the works done, rewards people according to who was the source of that work, what it came out from. That's why God has to search the heart. God has to search to see from what spirit, from what flow, from where it came, whether your spirit or the enemy's spirit or His own spirit. For the only thing that is eternal and will last forever is what's God's. All the rest you can throw out the window. God doesn't reward people for their good little efforts on earth. God rewards people when they let the Holy Spirit do His good efforts on the earth. Through them, when we have been a vessel, that's why He has to search the heart to see what was driving it, what was doing it, where the source was, what the waters were, whether they were bitter or sweet, whether they were good or bad. Now, I want you to understand here for just a moment that I am not talking about sin. You know, many of us confuse our works for our sins, works of death, works of life. We confuse that for sins. Obviously, works of death are sin. No, they're not. They can be works that produce death. They can be things that do things that aren't uplifting, that aren't life-giving. But at the other hand, God judged sin. And we're going to look at that in a few moments. I just threw it in here so that you don't get the wrong idea while I'm going on here. And God wants us to understand in our own heart and in our own spirit that there is something that flows out from us. We are responsible human beings. We are accountable human beings. We are people that when we come to the Lord, we come to the Lord and He searches our hearts. And He tries our reins, even to keep every man. Now look at this word. Every man according to his ways. Not his sins, but according to his ways. His ways are the ways you do something. The paths that you walk on. The things that you are doing. God is looking. He wants to search the heart because He wants to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings a reward. The Lord wants to reward. To a fault, if it was us, you would say, of God, that He's a God that wants to reward. He's not only a rewarding God, but He's a God that continuously wants to reward. Just like He wants to love. God is love. And what's going to flow from God is going to flow that way. And it's going to flow through that. And when God does something, He does it in love. He does it for love's sake. He does it for His own sake. Now, as we go on here, and foundations are always hard, but I just plow through them because they have to be here. God who searches the heart looks around. He takes His time. He wants to see. He wants to see the inner man. God searches the inner man. Why does He search him? Because He wants to reward him. I don't think we can fault God for wanting to reward us, do you? We might be a tidbit afraid of what He might find and what kind of reward we might get. But God is a God eager. He wants, He desires to reward. That's why the king couldn't sleep all night. He said, what reward have we brought for this man? After he read the Chronicles. What's been done for this man? What honor's been brought to him? Hasn't anybody rewarded this man for what he's done? How could he have gone so long without a reward? But you see, the king had to search. He had to search first to find someone that he could reward. And the Lord's searching, I want you to know, is to every man. Don't forget that. Every woman, man, child, every elderly person, God searches the hearts and the reins of every man to see in what way he can reward them. I think the searching goes on continuously. I think with every action of our life, there is a searching of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And this goes on and continues on. But now I want to take us from this plane to another in Matthew 16:27. We are talking about the present. Now we're going to talk about the future. In Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man will come in His glory, in the glory of His Father. And He will come with His angels. I guess if you want to put it down to just a short little statement, He will come. You can count on that. He hasn't left forever. He will come. And He's coming with His angels. And then, when is then? When He has come, will He reward each and everybody according to His works? He will reward everyone according to their works. I never realized before how much the Lord speaks of rewards in the Bible. Not just this word. When I begin to capture the theme, it was amazing to me from Genesis to Revelation. From cover to cover, it was weaved through there like a basket by a weaver. Totally hidden, I guess. It was there ever so clearly. And when I was on the subject of the Lord honoring an individual, the Lord spoke to me something very simple. He said, have you noticed that I reward individuals? And you know, we always know that God rewards, but I never dreamed that God was a rewarding God like this. I never realized that there was so much about God rewarding. And that He's just when He rewards. He's good when He rewards. And that He doesn't give us our payment for our sin. That would be payment. That wouldn't be a reward. A reward is something that God wants to give you based on faithfulness. Or let me put it another way so that you understand it better. Based on the fullness of faith. God's reward is entirely based on the fullness of faith. Now, the other side of the reward, what we call negative, is God's work for those that have a total lack of faith. For the unbelievers, for the wicked, for the unrighteous. For all these. Now to them, their rewards are for their evil works. And as we'd say in Spanish, mamma mia. Goodness, the rewards that God dishes out for the wicked are tremendous. And you know, I find that in the same context as we've been dealing with now, which is, I the Lord do search and reward, and I will come and then will reward. And then even further, after He comes, the judgment seat, when we stand all before Him, and once again, He rewards us. There's several stages. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. Because God wants to reward. God wants to give to us that which He can give to us. And when God searches the heart, may find it full of faith. Because if He doesn't find it full of faith, you're going to be rewarded with some things you don't think you're going to like. And when we get into that part of it, I'm going to convince you you don't like it. I'm going to so convince you you don't like it, you're going to want to live in the realm of faith. You're going to want to make sure you live in that faith. You want to make sure that all the rewards for the faithful or full of faith are your rewards. Because God has no distinction of person when he gives out the rewards. He searches the hearts of every man to see how it is that he can reward them for the fruit of their doing. And so here now, we have a Lord that will come. We have a Lord that first of all says, I search the heart to see how I can give to every man. Then he said, I will come and do it. Now he will come with his angels. That is a given time he will do it. At any one moment, given moment in our lifetime, he will do it. I have found so many things in Scripture how in this world God has rewarded us without even realizing. You just think it's part of life. But the Scriptures very clearly say that this is because of that. And that this great thing that's happening in your life was because God rewarded you with that because of this. And it's also clear. Also marvelously clear. And so you can slide down the ladder of pessimism, depression, and hopelessness, and hang on to this negative side and let that be your portion with the wicked, or you can come on over into the world of faith. But I'm going to shake you. I'm warning you. Revelation 22, verse 12. There's a little word added here. Same word. First person again. The Lord speaking of himself. I, the Lord, search the reins of every heart. I will come. Now he says, I will come quickly. I will come quickly. Don't put it off in the forever. For the Lord says, I will come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every, notice these words, to give every man according to his work shall be. According to what his work shall be, I bring my rewards with me to give unto every man. And I come quickly. And when I come, I'm going to come with angels. When I come, I'm going to give out rewards. When I come, I'm going to reward every single person for the works that they do. Why would God want to do this? Well, let's understand the principle for a moment. How many years would you work for a company that didn't pay you anything if there was absolutely no reward other than the money that they didn't give you? No benefits. You see, benefits used to be a reward for good work. When people started to go to work just to collect money and there was no good work, now we're losing our benefits. How long would you work for that company if on top of taking all your benefits, they took your pay? Someone tell me, Steve, how long would you work? You wouldn't even work a day for them anymore, would you? Well, then I would say that Steve works for rewards. What would you say of yourself? Someone stand here, if you would work for nothing, for absolutely no reward for the rest of your life, for whoever, I'll recruit you for me if you stand. No one's standing. Well, that shows the real heart, doesn't it? No, maybe it doesn't. It just shows the truth. We all work for a reward. God understands this. God understands that everything is based on a system, and I'm going to use a word, hopefully skillfully, equality. Now, that doesn't mean people are equal. We're talking about that God's reward are equals to our doing. God is a God of justice. God loves balances that aren't uneven. He doesn't like more weight on one side than on the other. He wants it even. He doesn't want one little gram or one little ounce to be more in somebody's favor. God likes a just balance. And the Lord likes that equality. He likes that his reward be equal to your effort, that his reward be equal to your surrender, that the reward be equal to your obedience, that the reward be equal to your faith, that the rewards and on and on and on and on and on. But God doesn't just throw out rewards like someone that comes with a briefcase of money, goes off in a Piper aircraft, and just opens it up about 1,000 feet over a village somewhere, and starts raining money down to these people. That's not God rewarding them for anything. God doesn't drop out nor hand out from heaven his rewards. He doesn't just come into a building like this once a month and says, okay, ready everybody? And just throws all his rewards out there. Whoever got it, got it. No, that wouldn't be right. That wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be just. That wouldn't be equal. So somebody out there might end up with 50 rewards for things they never did or were worthy of. Whereas other people might not end up with any. God doesn't do this. God is just. He will make sure that you're equally rewarded. He will make sure that the reward is equal to that you have done. Do you remember when Jesus gave the parable and he said, there was a man that came and worked early in the morning and he agreed to work for an X amount. Then there came somebody the last 20 minutes before the day was out. He also agreed to work for the same amount and did it. When the first guy found out, he thought he had been very unjust. Because he got the same payment as the guy that came in later, and God said, we had an agreement. My wages were fair to you until you found out somebody's wages were better than yours. How was it that the whole day you were content with your wages, and at the last moment when you find out someone was rewarded for something other than you and was given the same reward, you know, you felt it was so unjust? And so God didn't base it on how much he gave people. God bases it on justice. God bases it on a reward equal to that which was asked and demanded. God knew that the effort for the person that came in at the last was 100 times more difficult than the person that worked all day and did it in his strength. And those that came in without their strength that he used for that moment, because they'd yielded to him, because they'd come to him, because he'd helped him out at the last moment when it was so critical that the harvest or whatever be taken up before the storm, suppose, whatever the case might be, the justice of God is absolute. He makes sure that the balance is equal on both sides. But reward, God does definitely reward. Now I want to take you even further than that, 2 Corinthians 5:10. First the immediate, then the later, now the much later. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's speaking to the Christians. All judgment was given unto the Lord. Before him appear all. In the resurrection, the wicked, as also the just, rise. There's a resurrection of the body, because the Lord wants to reward the body that did it. Now think of this. If you're without your body that did the works, the reward would go to the wrong person, to the wrong body. The Lord rewards everybody. And so it said that they raised from the dead and appeared before the throne in their own bodies to receive in their own bodies the works done while on earth. All right? I got ahead of myself here, but I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone... Now look at this again. Every time you see the word reward or the whole subject, it's also so linked to this everyone. But here we are. Everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So here we have a rewarding God. Here we have a statement. He will reward. Third, we have a statement that the rewards go on and on and on. They don't just start here. They don't happen only in this world. They don't happen only as we go to church. They don't happen as we walk in this life. They happen after death. And they happen much after death. And they continue to happen forever. We also see that this rewarding God rewards every single person, the just with the unjust. And that God's reward are different for the unjust than they are for the just. And that his rewards for those that do evil or bad works is very different from those that do good ones. I guess it's a matter of understanding which is the good or bad. Well, thank the Lord for the word. He'll give us to understand that. Now I want to come down. You know, I've taken you in three little easy steps out to eternity, but we don't live in eternity. We live right here. So now I want to come down between you and me. Between you and the person sitting next to you. Between you and the person sitting behind or ahead of you. And that I'll take from Romans 14, 10, 11, and 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Who is thy brother? Once born into the kingdom of God, once God is your father, who is your brother? Who is your sister? Anyone that doeth the will of the Father. Anyone that has him as his father is your brother, your sister. You understand that? Huh? Why judgest thou then your brother? Did he ask if we did? Huh? Did it say here, do you judge your brother? Does he just assume that we do? You said yes, I didn't. I was asking the questions. But you are honest. There is a spirit of revelation here. It is true. How very true it is of all of us. We do. Do you know that being judgmental of your brother can happen without you ever opening your mouth? It could happen with just the thoughts you think. With the way you evaluate that individual. Where you put him on the pedestal of esteem. Where you put him in the pedestal of worthwhileness. And here they are. We've judged our brother. He said, why? Well, God was looking at his motivation. He knew we do it, but he was looking for motivation. Remember, God is searching the heart. He said, why? I want you to think of the why. He said, to help you a little bit with your why and to straighten out your why, I want to give you some information. And so, in his letter to the Roman church, he writes to the church in Rome, he clarifies this. Don't you know that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. And listen to this. I'd never caught this before. And every man shall confess. I thought it was the Lord. But it says confess to God. And I thought maybe in the originals it would be any different. Because sometimes the little tiny words they throw out or do whatever. But this is more of a literal translation than any other translation you can get your hands on. They will stand, every single person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every knee will bow. I want you to know that we're going to confess to him with our knees bowed. Knees and tongue. The knees bow. The tongue confesses. And we sing, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm afraid that we're going to confess some other things. It says, every tongue shall confess. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself. Now, this is not like the song, is it? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, there are other scriptures that do indicate that. It's not that it's not right. I'm just not quoting from them. I'm quoting from Romans. And when it says confess to God, he now says give an account of himself. So what is God saying? That at judgment, he's not going to call you to find out what I did. Thank goodness. Thank God. Nor to be accused by what you felt I did, or what it looked like I did, or what you have liked me to have done. He said, why bother judging your brother when in heaven you're going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and you're going to confess of your own things to God? It's your deal. No one's going to be in on that. So don't muscle in on it. You can't come in and say, Lord, he left one out. Hey, that's his business with God. That's not none of your business. Lord, you should have worked on this a long time ago. Well, then intercede for him. Say, Lord, you should have done this a long time ago. Lord, you should have done this a long time ago. But it says here that every man shall give account of himself and confess with bowed knees that he is Lord when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now we say, well, that looks sort of terrible. But the Lord hasn't started rewarding yet. You're just confessing. You haven't put it together yet, have you? Go back to the first scripture I gave you in Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, hear the confession of the mouth, and on the basis of that, I reward. What did we say? I, the Lord, search the heart. You confess, he searches the heart to give to every man the reward. He's already thinking up what he's going to do while you're there chatting to him, telling him all about yourself. He knows so much about you. Why it's ever necessary to tell him, I don't know. But I want you to know, it says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall. Now, shall, I didn't look this word up, but shall to me, anytime using the scriptures other than here, it's a stronger word than will, for example. And it doesn't speak of the fact that, you know, thou shalt do whatever, but that you will be doing this. And shalt, if for us, has a connotation of throwing it out into the future. Shall means, okay, someday. Shall doesn't mean now, but shall means now. You shall rise and sing unto the Lord. Well, when do you plan to do that? Next week? No, do it this morning. Then you have. This shall is the same way. We shall stand. We shall stand. We throw it off into eternity. But how can we throw it off in eternity when it started down here with us now? And it said, why judgest thou thy brother? We will all stand. That is an affirmative. We will. We shall. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I believe that there is a judgment in heaven. But sin now, and not our works, and I will, make a distinction of this, sin wasn't judged in heaven. Sin won't be judged in heaven. Sinners will, but sin won't be judged in heaven. That might surprise you. No one's sin will. Sin will be judged at the cross. That's where sin was really judged, is at the cross. And they that are found through faith to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ at the judgment throne are treated as righteous. Those who by faith did not accept his righteousness, where sin was really judged, and stand with their own righteousness, it's their righteousness, not their sin, that will be judged. And all of man's righteousness, not sins, were as filthy rags, as a polluted garment. Because there is only one righteous, and that is God. Every time we think of judgment, immediately we associate it with sin. And well, we do. Because sin was judged at the cross. And we either identify with Christ in his death, in all that that implicates and all that that means, and we've gone into that death with him, and our sins were judged at the cross. And this outward man died. And it could not be given a life any longer like it could have had here on earth, but it has everlasting life within. And therefore, God judged our sin at the cross as we identified in the cross. We also identify in his life, in his righteousness, by faith. And I want you to know that this righteousness, this is by faith, is highly rewarded by God. It has perhaps the greatest of all rewards placed on it by God. Now that is a work of life. We spoke of works of death and works of life. Remember, it's works that will be rewarded. What is the works? Do you know that it's more work to believe than to act good? You say, no, it's not. Yes, it is. You have everything against you when it comes to believing. Do you know that it's much harder to put on his robe than put on your own? Because we never take ours off. Joshua, the high priest, stood before the presence of the Lord. And one of the most marvelous things, you know, is that as he stood there before the Lord, he stood there without his garments on. He said, take those silly things off he's got, those terrible, polluted, filthy things. He said, put on my garments on there. Because you cannot come before me without my garments. You see, by faith, when we've identified in the cross, instead of fighting the cross or leaving it out of our gospel, when we've identified with it, when we have been taken, not just associated with it, but when we've been taken through the experience of it, and it's a living reality in our heart, and we no longer live by our own righteousness or clothing, we are doing the works of God. The works are to put on his garments. What is the reward for that? I've got it much later on, but I'm going to cheat a little bit. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that day. You see, by faith, he had something on that he didn't have on. That faith was his righteousness. What was his reward? Righteousness. To be able to stand before God righteous was his reward. For him that doeth righteousness, righteousness shall be his reward. What is doing? Doing isn't acting right, acting good, enacting the Bible. The work is the work of faith. And God rewards the work of faith just like he rewards the works of unbelief. How did God react to the works of unbelief in people in the wilderness, church people? He overthrew them in the wilderness. God says, I want to reward you, but I have to reward this unbelief. I searched your heart. You won't believe. You won't take my way out. You're looking for your own way out. And then when he told them that they were doing that, they went out there and wanted to face the enemies on themselves. Miserably slaughtered. Back they come, all disappointed, still wouldn't put on the garment of faith. They still wouldn't do the works of God. They still wouldn't do works of life. Do you know, if you work the works of the cross, in doing so, in believing, you receive another glorious reward, and that is eternal life. You have to earn that reward. What do? Believe. Ah, that's easy. No, it's not. That's a work of life. Because it's a work that produces life, and it is rewarded equally with life forever. So that is God's very proof that it is a work of life because it's rewarded with life, just like it's a work of righteousness because it's rewarded with righteousness. Are you understanding this? May the Spirit of Revelation give you understanding. He said, well, I don't need this. Yeah, but you're going to get it. I mean, not only from me. You're going to get it from him. You're going to get the rewards whether you understand them or not, and it's wonderful to understand what you're getting. And it's even more wonderful to understand how you can affect what you're getting. And how you can stop getting some rewards you don't like. And begin getting some rewards you do like. Say, well, then it's all dependent on man. Well, you just wait. God is a rewarding God. We're not even into the full of our outlook yet. And I hope you're already seeing that God is a rewarding God. And that he's given it to Christ to carry out his desires to reward people. And that he has given him orders to search men's hearts. And when he gave him orders, he gave him orders to research deep into every heart. No one escapes. Well, you know, I'm too young. I don't understand this. Every man. Every man. As children, weren't we rewarded by our parents for our good and evil work? They weren't the same rewards, were they? But we were definitely rewarded. Nothing went unrewarded. Because you have to understand something about our nature. Without reward, we don't do anything. Just like Steve said, and how true it is of all of our natures, we just don't. We respond to rewards. If there was no reward of love in a marriage, just endurance, for that reward, I doubt you'd get married or want to stay in it. There are many wonderful rewards, many wonderful, and I'll use the word returns, although it's associated financially, but there are many wonderful returns, rewards. You cast your bread upon the water, it will return unto you. That's a reward. When you need it, it's going to be there. You give and it shall be given. That's a reward. There's so many wonderful principles of that link an action to its reward. And so many of them I found are related to this earth. So many, many, many. But now all we want to do today is understand the principle. And if we can get past this, we can understand all the rest. The principle is, first of all, we can't just ignore this part of God that rewards evil. We can't ignore the fact that God does reward, and that continuously through life, we are living out the rewards of our own works and our own doings. You take, for example, what Jesus said to this woman, according to your faith, what was the reward? Be it unto you. Now, it was her faith. The reward was the healing. You see, when he searched the heart, he found faith, so he wanted to give a reward for that faith. It was a faith in him. It was a work of righteousness in that she believed. Works of righteousness, God doesn't reward in a way you'll want rewardings or to be rewarded. If you try your own silly man's righteousness trick, those aren't works of righteousness. To believe and to be clothed in his righteousness is the work of righteousness. I want to differentiate that. Second thing I want you to know is we've said that sin was judged at the cross, so God wasn't getting at that right now. He wasn't pointing out those things right now. But let me, excuse me, read to you out of John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily. Now notice it doesn't say barely. It says, for sure, I want you to know. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. That is the reward for believing. We pass from death to life. I'm going to give you an example here so you can understand this. The other day, I forget who it was, we were talking about the left and the right hand of God. And some time ago, I put it together. I think I've said some things about that. You know how he puts some on his right hand and some on his left. Make sure you're not on the left, because the left is a spanking hand of God, and the right is the grace side of God. My hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The right hand of the Lord is always present to help those who are in need. But I want to say this, that God has a wrath side and God has a mercy side. Let's just, for the sake of example, call the wrath side of God his left side and the mercy part of God his right side. We have been passed by belief in him and the work that he did at the cross. We have passed from the left side to the right side. And God now no longer deals with us as left-handed children. He deals with us with his right hand. We have passed from wrath to grace. And God's rewards now for our sin cannot any longer be on the right hand what it was on the left. The only way you can get back there is through unbelief. Unbelief will sit you on daddy's lap on the left side quicker than anything else I can tell you about. Because you see, it's not just believing once and it's all done. Believing is a continual action in life. It's a work that you do. It's a continuous work. In fact, the more you do it, the easier it comes. You just do it automatically. It just happens. You just let that the Spirit of the Lord flow through you. You let His faith come forth through you. You've learned to open the gates and the channels to that. That is a work. You're doing that. And God rewards that work. How did He reward this work? By those who put their belief in Him, those that put their faith in Him and in His finished work, He brought them from the left side to the right, from the side of wrath. They were no longer children of wrath, but children of grace. Now, God has two sides. You can't just throw one out and pretend like it doesn't exist, throw the cross out and have a crossless gospel. God's fury, God's wrath came down at the cross. And if you were identified in that cross, the wrath was already settled the issue with you. You died with Christ. He was made a curse for you. Your work was to identify yourself with Christ. Your work was to go there and die with Him. Your work was to let the Holy Spirit reveal to you by His law your sin and your condition to bring you to that place where the cross, you and He together identified and were baptized in His suffering and in His death to later on then be resurrected and placed on the right hand of God as Christ, His very Son. What does that mean? That means that the reward started immediately after believing. For God's rewards don't wait forever. God searches the heart of every man to see how He may reward him. And God delights in rewarding people. Christ delights in carrying out those rewards to all men here on earth. He delights in our faith. He delights in our work. I will go on with this just to press the point a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. So how could I be judged for sin when He was judged for my sin? How was Christ rewarded when He took my sin? As a sinner now, what side of God did He come under? For the sake of the example, the left. The side of the wrath of God. We're either on the side of wrathful deity or of merciful deity. We have passed from death to life, but He had to pass from life to death in order to make the bridge for us. But I want you to notice, when He built the bridge, you didn't just jump over on the other side, you had to get on the side of death to walk over the bridge to life. Now, He spanned the bridge, but you've got to start on the side of death. We both had to meet on the side of death before we could walk over the bridge into life. Because there's an incrossable chasm. People that live in sin and the unrighteous will definitely not be able to take a little hop and skip into the rivers of God and into heaven, because it's not in us to have the power to will what we are to do or be in heaven. That is willed by us and for us by our Father which is in heaven. And so as we identify in the cross, as we identify in the death of Jesus Christ, He was made sin for us. Who made Him sin? God. God made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, not for Him. As long as we stay in Him, for in the cross, we all died. Now that's the work. Do you know how many people shun the cross? That's legalism. Yeah, there is legalism. There is such a thing as that bird. Eat it. Then it won't bug you anymore. Taste of His wrath. And as the guillotine blade comes deathly near your ear, you'll realize it took someone else in your place, whom you owe your life to. But what was the work to go with Him into Calvary? That was the work that God counts as works of righteousness, because we went there by faith. I believed He did take my place. I believed my sins were judged at the cross. I believe that the rewards of God are on me because I did. What are the rewards for that action? There are many, but one in principally, eternal life that begins now. Life, I've passed from death to life. I didn't stay in death. I met Him in death, I went through death, and I crossed the bridge into life. But that bridge, like Eden, is guarded with angels of flaming swords of fire, and you can't just muscle your way into eternal life. There's only one way, and that's through the cross. And I want to tell you one thing, that the rewards for those that are on the side of life are entirely different than for those that are on the side of death. God calls those that are on the side of death and stayed on the side of death and never went through death with Christ and never took him by faith to be their representative as they identified in his death can now identify in his life. They remain under the wrath of God. They're left-handers all the way. And God rewards them for being there. There are rewards for the wicked. There are rewards for their works. There are rewards for what they do. There is rewards for their unbelief. It just doesn't go because. God knows we respond only to rewards. And say, well, you know, we like the good rewards, not the bad rewards. If you went to work every day and they rewarded you with a slap, you'd work somewhere else. We don't like things like this, but God is just. And now let's understand, as we go in further here, how important it is. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life to all who believe. So who does he reward this gift to? Does he just give this gift out and rain it out of heaven like bills coming out of a little Piper aircraft up there? No. It is a grace. It is a gift. But who is it given to? All who will believe. That is the work. That is the work of righteousness. The work we do to identify, that's our work. But it said he was made a curse for us. And he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that by the promise, by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. In 3:23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. But now what is this faith he's talking about? Look at how those who understood this look forward to their reward from this faith. I'll read to you some other scriptures out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. That he is a rewarder. You seek him diligently. You seek this about the Lord, you're going to find out he is a rewarder. Not the rewarder. Perhaps he is the rewarder, the perfect rewarder. But God is a rewarder. And what did it start with? Faith. How clearly it starts with faith. He is rewarded then as the seek him diligently. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming now, he says, the reproach of Christ was greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. He counted suffering with those that were without greater treasure than being in Egypt with a great people, lifted up, have a position, have a place, have all these riches of earth. He esteemed the reward of God a higher place of reward. Now that is very interesting. A higher place of reward. Therefore, we're told in Hebrews 10:35, don't cast away your confidence because it has a great reward. Don't cast away. Do not, please do not cast it away. What is this that we're, what is this confidence? It's our faith. It's our trust in his finished work. It's a trust that when we get to eternity, we won't be rewarded for our sin. Well, tell me then, if we won't be rewarded in heaven for our sin, why do we feel like we are here? Why so many times then in our life do we feel like God's rewarding us or punishing us when he so clearly said, I haven't punished you According to your sin, sin was already punished. Sin was already dealt with. And so through these many scriptures, I'm trying to show you that there will be no rewards for sin for the Christian. There'll be a delightful, he said, to present your prayer before the Father with exceeding great joy. That doesn't sound like a sorrowful judgment to me. You confess all you want. You can confess all the things you did or didn't want, but he's searching your heart. And he knows that for all those years you put your explicit trust in him and in his finished work, and that you got to heaven with no other garment on but his. And my dearest child, I want to tell you that's the only way you'll ever get in. He'll reward you for the perfect work of putting on his garment, of taking what he freely gave you instead of standing with the own wedding garment on that day before. No, he doesn't reward us for our sin here or there. We feel like he does. Sin has consequences, like any other action of ours on earth has consequences. You push something, it's going to move. You can't just push something and it stays there. Something's going to happen. There is a reaction, an equal reaction to every action that we have on earth. Now in Romans 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering, now remember that this was the reward that Paul, Moses was looking forward to. And Moses was looking forward to a reward, so he endured the suffering. Now here's someone else saying something different. For I reckon that the suffering of the present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now what do you think that is? That is the reward for suffering. With Christ's suffering. There are rewards for this. You don't just suffer. Later on we'll see it. They that suffer with him shall also... Well, that's a reward. And there are thousands, literally thousands. It's almost like every action of ours in earth commands from God a reward. God is very rewarding. God wants to make sure he is so just, everything has to be rightly and proportionately rewarded. And some of the rewards of the Lord are so marvelous. The rewards he has for the wicked, I don't want. It scares me to death. I bless the God of heaven for the understanding. I bless the God of heaven that I can see, that I can see what rewards I would get. All the more because I understand that sin was judged for me and that I've passed from the curse to blessing, from death to life. But as it is written, I will mention three more. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor hath ear, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those or them that love him. I couldn't believe the things the scripture said that God does in rewards for those who love him. It was incredible. Eye hasn't even begun to see it in this world. Ear hasn't yet heard in this earth. The things that God for eternity has prepared for those that love him. That is an action. That is a work of life. That is a work that will be rewarded in heaven forever, graciously and marvelously, far beyond your expectations, exceeding far beyond your imagination. To love the Lord carries the highest rewards, for it is the first commandment of all. It is the In it are enclosed, the whole law is enclosed. And to love your neighbor comes nearly close to it. Now in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, but it is but just for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. With the glory which shall be revealed in us, Romans 8:18, and 2 Corinthians 4:17, it said the weight of glory. So we do go through things in life, but not unrewarded. Some of our rewards wait. Others are given to us now, but God will reward every action of every man everywhere in this world at all times. You've got to have something put together. You've got to be pretty big to keep control of all that. To keep track of all that. to put everything in your balance and let it meet out right down to the last little degree. And I will finish with Ephesians 2, verse 7. At least for now. That in the ages to come, in the ages to come, how long could an age be? An age is a long time. But through the ages, do you notice the plurality? Through the ages, how many ages there are? This thing's going to go on. You're going to go on. You're going to drop your body off and get another one because this one's worn out. But life goes on. You are going to go on. Your life is going to go on. And God says for the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of His grace. What a reward. In His kindness toward us who are found in Jesus Christ. Because the Father gives forth the exceeding abundance of His glory and His kindness and His grace upon the Son in whom we are. Look, God rewards every action, for God is a rewarder. There are actions of good and actions of evil. I've given you a few of both today because what today was is just an overlook. We just caught a glimpse of it. And I trust this glimpse opens your eyes a little bit because it is just that, a glimpse. But as we go deeper into it, I trust that the Lord will so mark it, so stamp it into our spirit that we will realize the importance and how it is and how it works and how to walk before the Lord. That's why He said, love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly before you, God. If you forget all the rest of them in your life, keep to those three. Keep to those three. For they that walk humbly with the Lord shall be exalted, and their reward is to sit with Him.